The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astros Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida. Presented by Texas Citizens Bank. Here's John Granato.
Juggernaut ahead in Palm Beaches at the golf course of the Americas.
That's not John. John's machine exploded today. I thought I left all this behind, Dell. I thought we were all grossed up. We have a big thing here today, what they call a soiree. PR people. Advertisers, investors, the important people are coming in. We're all dressed up. I see you for the first time ever without a hat, ever, in all of history, ever.
Well, that's not correct, but yeah, it's the first time.
When have I ever seen you without a hat?
I don't know. I mean, I don't worry about you keeping tabs on me, so.
Well, you should, because I do.
Well, that's weird. You're like Google and YouTube. I don't know, but yeah, today we were, well, the last couple of days we were informed how to dress, what not to do. And so, yeah, collared shirts, hats, or lack of hats will be the deal today.
Dell is not exaggerating. Radio people are animals. This is why my office is on the culture map side, because of the word culture. There were literally like four emails sent out. And let's bring John on so he knows, because John knows this. John is from a hurricane in Florida. Okay, there, the wind's down a little bit. We got emails over the last 2-3 days, multiple emails saying the same thing. Basically, listen, guys, wear nicer clothes, wear your dress-up clothes, wear your church clothes. Don't wear this. Don't wear this. Don't wear this. Clean up around your desk. Like, they don't trust us to dress up, and I wouldn't either, if I'm being honest. Hey, John, are you in a wind tunnel? Or are you on the Comrex? What's going on there?
The Comrex blew up.
It blew up.
I plugged it in, and it went pop, and then all of a sudden there's smoke coming out of it. And I'm smelling the whole place. The whole press box smells like burnt plastic.
Today, when all of the important people are coming in, and we've all got to wear shirts today, and we've also got to wear shoes.
What is Trey wearing?
He's supposed to come in.
He's here. He answered the phone to get John on. Oh, Trey,
yeah, he's here.
Can I tell you, there was literally discussion yesterday afternoon about whether or not Trey should come in for his shift.
No, I said he should come in. I just told him, if he's leaving at 11, which he said originally, then you don't have to dress up.
Dell, did you make a comment that maybe he shouldn't even come?
I didn't say that. I said Trey.
Somebody did there.
Tyler might have. Tyler was screwing with him, telling him what to wear. And I just said, Trey, I don't really care enough about you to even screw with you, so just stay home.
Beautiful Andrew.
Not.
Beautiful Andrew needs to be here.
Oh, front and center.
Probably at the front desk. Probably just.
This is our master interns. They will take over the station one day and the world. And this is what you are paying for, investors. And they'll be like, this is the best money I've ever spent if this is what we're doing. Or they can see Trey. Do you know that Rusty Wallace one time ran into a dog and like, oh, no. Is this our money? Yeah, it's your money too. But I want to tell you something here. This guy can do some pretty sweet things, and then you hit him with the NASCAR thing. I don't know if it's going to impress. If the NASCAR trick impresses all the investors, though, I'm not sure NASCAR Wikipedia is going to land necessarily.
If you do a stand-up with him, that, I think, you know, as opposed to him just walking up, hey, you know who won the 1968 year 500?
That's just going to scare them. That's going to be like, do we have security here? Like, no, he's with us. This is our guy. With the Mighty Ducks hat? Yeah. And the red crazy hair? Yeah.
Yes. That's ride or die.
That's on purpose.
We're ride or die.
Yes, that's on purpose. But look at Andrew. And they'll be like, oh, okay, that's right.
Yeah, we get
For those who don't know, Andrew's about, I don't know, like maybe about 6'1", Dale, you think?
I don't know. You might call him the Rian Dream. If you look at him, you're like, huh, that's what that guy was looking towards when he was building his country.
No, that's not it.
Have you seen him?
He's blonde. Blue eyes.
You're like
he's built like, you know, you can tell he works out. He looks the part. You know, he looks a part of a blue chip prospect.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know which side he's going to in prison, okay? All right. we already know who's going to protect him.
That's
so there's no question about
hopefully
that.
Hopefully the investors are listening to this right now.
All I'm saying is
we plug people into prison gangs.
If there's a profile, if there's a wiki for this is what I'm looking for this particular dream, let's call it the dream in a certain country, Deutschland.
Well, you got Granado's subtlety again, I see.
This would be the guy.
Deutschland. Well, you know, I thought we were doing the subtle thing
Deutschland's
subtle.
Him say, I had a dream.
No,
okay?
He is that the was, dream. I didn't was, say he's the dream in Deutschland. At a certain time in our history, he would fit the profile.
I think he's an American dream.
Well, currently, yes.
I think he's every dream. He's every dream of every person. He's kind. He's nice. And
polite.
He's polite, answers the phone, he knows his sports, he does good work. He is what we want to put front and center from our interns out there. But Trey is the real grinder of the, you know, Trey's the guy that's really, truly grinding out there every single day. Yeah. Even when he's not on the clock, he comes in and does work, and people are like, what are you doing here, Trey? And that's how it goes. John, I thought I left all this exploding hardware. I didn't think I was going to see that anymore, but I see that we still have things that explode.
Well, we do. We not anymore, because it's all over now. All the exploding stuff I took care of now.
As of about 30 minutes ago, it's over.
Plugged in, turned on, bam.
Well, so what's your day going to look like now? Now what are you doing?
Well, I'm going to the locker room right now, as a matter of fact. I'm going to try and get as many one-on-ones as possible. You got Charlie Morton already. Let me see what I can get in here. Send you back segments. You guys are just going to – Raheel's going to have to hustle in today. That's all. Raheel, I know you're
listening. That happens.
Okay, so hurry up. Okay. Get in. Extra work today. Shoot. Yeah, I know. It's difficult for you.
Now, Lance is freaking out.
Listen, I've got to go to this locker room and get people.
What are you freaking out about, Lance?
I forgot to write my article.
It's sports map day, and Lance didn't write his article.
Oh, my God. I totally forgot.
It's funny
forgot.
That a mention of Raheel triggered his memory.
Yeah, a mention of Raheel triggers my memory, because Raheel is the standard bearer for sports map articles. And it.
So, wait, today was your day?
Yeah, and he didn't write his, apparently.
I haven't finished the editing
Did
yet.
You start?
There's a giant hole. Lance Erline thought this.
Already storyboarded it. It's already storyboarded.
Wait, you storyboard your stories? This is not a cartoon.
No, it's like a movie where you create. Yeah, it's a.
No, not really. You just write and you type and it's over.
No, I've got a whole process that I go through, and now the final editing is what I got to finish. I got to tighten up the editing.
Final editing by you mean like typing 600 words?
Yeah,
that's what you mean by final editing.
Is that what you mean?
I wish Speak to Talk worked better on phones. Oh, well. Did you see what Lance McCullers said, by the way?
Hey, just do a 20-word hologram deal, okay?
Oh, no, I was already going to write the hologram piece.
I know you're going to do it.
Question.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah, I already said I was going to do it.
It's just going to be shorter than 500 words. It'll be 20.
Hey, did you? This is a little shorter than usual. Hey, did you see what Lance McCullers said about ESPN?
Yeah, I saw it.
So, here's what Lance McCullers said, and this is a deleted tweet, so let me get it's written down. So here's what he said. So he was watching ESPN's coverage of, you know, expedited play pace and limited mound visits and all that stuff. And like every pitcher, he's salty AF about this. And he said, but what made him salty is that they're showing pictures of Game 7 with him on the mound and Brian McCann. Now, if you remember correctly, Brian McCann, well, let's just say this. Game 5, 6, and 7, Brian McCann went to the mound at least 20 times total. There was a lot of mound visits going on. And Lance McCullers got really pissed off that they were showing videos of him and Brian McCann, you know, talking multiple times on ESPN when they were, you know, going through this piece. And he said, ESPN displaying mound visits today of Game 7 of the World Series like that's a standard game. The game decides everything, and we, as pitchers, catchers, have to combat sign stealing, and he put parentheses, cheating. Y'all never talk baseball, show baseball, or care. Save your BS for Shippy, but he doesn't say Shippy, for Shippy First Take. So he took a shot. So now I can just, I know Stephen A. First of all, let me say this to Lance McCullers, who was disgraceful and dreadful in Game 7 of that series. You don't have to worry about First Take when you're out there. You hit five people in three innings. I know that's coming. I will 100% guarantee you that Stephen A. is going to show videos of Lance McCullers hitting people with pitches, and that'll become an entire segment. Because he took a shot at First Take.
No question. ESPN, he's going to hear it today. I'm going to go in there and check out what he has. I'm going to see if there's any.
Yeah. See if you can get him. See, just start needling him about First Take. Like, what's your favorite part of the first take?
See if you can get him. Which segment do you love best?
Listen, First Take. On First Take, do you like, who do you like better, first of all, Max or Stephen A.?
I didn't even know their names. Glad I got that info.
By the way, has anyone ever called him Stephen Smith?
No, I'm going to call him Stevie. Do you like Stevie Smith
Steve.
Or Maxwell?
Who do you like better, Maxwell or Steve?
Or Steve. Which one?
And he'll say, the Persian girl. Oh, Molly Karam, good choice. Good choice.
Yeah, well, there's no question.
Good choice. The very first time I worked Combine, by the way, she was. I worked with her on the social media set.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yep.
Good for you.
And then she said this, which you'll love. I said, we were talking about hummus because that's where it just went, you know, the conversation. And that was my dad move. And she goes, I got to watch. She goes, I love hummus, but I got to watch how much I eat because I'll get thicker than a Snickers. And I was like, girl, stop. 7-Eleven.
She and Raheel would get along.
Yep.
Hummus eaters.
Well, I don't know about that. See, look,
I wouldn't put hummus on Raheel. I've never seen him eat hummus, to be honest.
Frankly,
with
it's beneath
couscous,
him.
Hummus.
He's too.
He's a
too,
quinoa.
Yeah, he's chicken more blend nature's type. Grain type yeah. stuff. So.
Ancient grains.
Yeah, I think he. Yeah, he's a little fancy. He's like he's not a foodie, but he is a little bougie. He's like bougie.
He's bougie. He's not a foodie, but he uses an air fryer to fry food as opposed to a deep fryer.
He's a hipster, but he's not a foodie. But he's just bougie, what he is.
And I know he's listening because he gets up early.
Yeah.
Does he show up early knowing that John isn't available? What do you think happens?
I need somebody so I can finish my editing.
All right, let me
editing,
go in there and
writing.
See what I get.
All right,
all right, John. I'll call you back.
All right, we'll see.
You.
That's John Granato, whose radio machine exploded.
Yeah, that's the best way to explain it. Comrex, whatever. It's
a
radio machine.
As soon as I saw the phone. As soon as I saw it, I was like, this is terrible.
My concern for John is so low. He called me twice. I just ignored.
You just didn't even. You don't answer any calls. I called you before. You don't answer anyone's calls.
What am I
going
to do from the car?
You don't return texts. You don't answer calls.
Well, I don't return texts on the weekends because you guys get into your nonsense. And I'm like, I don't care about
this. Well, a little
this.
Bit, but you don't want to be part of the fun?
Not the F-boy fun?
Yeah, that's what. Well, Raheel's the one who named the group text the F-boys.
It's boys.
B-O-I.
Yeah, boys. It's okay, but on the weekend, I'm done with you guys.
By the way, that's not a compliment to call somebody an F-boy.
I think that's the point. He's calling all of us F-boys. I know. It's not a compliment.
Well, he's one of them, too.
Yeah, he's among us.
All right, so we'll hear from Charlie Morton here in just a second. The Houston Astros' greatest pitcher ever in Game 6, or in the last four games of the World Series, Charlie Morton was dealing. In Game 7, it was Operation Shutdown. He looked as nasty as any Astro pitcher out there. John Granato caught up with Charlie. We will hear from him here in the next segment. We'll get to John's interview. And then John will be bringing us different interviews from the locker room with the Houston Astros. More to cover as well. The Dallas Mavericks, creep city. Wait until you hear what's going on with the Mavericks. There's going to be some Me Toos coming out of that building when we tell you what's going on over there. It's 7:13 here on The Bench. And I want to tell you about my boys over at Prime Social. Prime Social is the hot spot right now for poker. It's not going to be just right now. It's going to be forever. If you and your buddies like to play neighborhood pickup games of cards. Maybe you got a monthly card game. Take it into Prime. Let me tell you why. You've got half-price seat fees from 11 to 4, so that's a benefit. But you've got poker tournaments going on every single day. Every single day, there's a big poker tournament. There's monster tournaments going on every Saturday and Sunday. But here's the thing. If you want to just get a game, a cash game going, you know, just put down $200 or $300 and just play, you know, for a long time over the afternoon, either until it runs out or until you build your stack way up high, you can do that. They're nice, friendly, good cash games, no limit hold'em. They've got some Omaha games in there. They got the big tournament games going on, but it doesn't stop there. Fantastic menu, fully stocked bar, 29 TVs and 20 poker tables. We're going to be in there for March Madness. We'll tell you about that. We'll be doing a live broadcast from there, and we're going to set up a tournament where you can try to take me or John out and win a bounty. That's going to be coming up as well. So if you want to find out more about the hot spot for poker here in the Houston area where you actually win real money, it's a real thing, go to PrimeSocialTX.com. It's located on Westheimer between Hillcroft and I call it Dunnville. You can call it whatever you want to. Gessner, if you want to go all the way west. But it's right there at 7801 in a beautiful standalone building. Used to be a churrascaria, so the building and the interior is gorgeous. The setup is fantastic. And Brent and Steve and those guys are looking to make this the best experience you can have at PrimeSocialTX.com. Time began to burn like a star.
ESPN 97.5.
/7:20 here on the bench. Lance Zierlein, John Granato, Dell. We'll still keep saying John Granato. He is in Florida. His radio thingy broke, it caught on fire or exploded today, smoked. So he won't be on the air today. He's actually flying back anyway. But he is going to go get interviews right now. He's in the locker room. Lance McCullers is going to join us tomorrow morning. And John caught up with Charlie Morton yesterday. Now, nickname, some people call him Uncle Charlie Morton. I call him the Professor. Nickname bestowed by my buddy Chris Solis. And the reason's simple. Because he's basically like Greg Maddux. Pinpoint accuracy, one of the greats we've ever seen. A potential Hall of Famer, Charlie Morton. At least potential. When it comes to Ring of Honor, more likely to get into the fans' Ring of Honor, Brian Cushing or Charlie Morton?
Brian Cushing.
Who's done more for the city of Houston?
Well, clearly Charlie Morton, but yeah. Fans aren't that logical. And you heard, we'll get to Charlie Charlie Morton. We heard Bob McNair yesterday. Sounds like a guy who
save it for the next
okay,
segment.
Okay, you heard what
we
he
heard,
said.
Was it Bob or Cal? We heard Cal McNair.
Yeah, Cal.
Because Cal's basically, I think, taking over the whole team.
De facto owner at this point, yeah, or spokesman at least.
I think he's taking over the whole team. We'll get to some of what Cal said. We'll get to the Brian Cushing comments because... it could be a Ring of Honor thing. You may be right on that one. Here's John. John had a chance to catch up with Charlie Morton, and here's John with the Astros undercover World Series hero, Charlie Morton.
Can you believe? I mean, when did it sink in, especially Game 7 and what you did? Was there a moment you sat and reflected and said, wow?
Yeah, a couple times, and I guess it would be random times. The next morning when I woke up being one of them, you know, when you wake up and you're like, well, I'm in LA, we won the World Series last night. Because it's a big deal, you know, as a professional baseball player, I've been doing it for a while, and that's really what you want to do, is you want to get to the point where you can be on a team that wins a World Series. So to have gone through it, you do have moments where you're like, wow, that actually happened. So I went back to Bradenton for the offseason, and I kind of detached from baseball. In a small town, and then you come back, and then you're reminded, you know, all over again of, you know, the guys, and it's really nice to be here back together again.
So, the off season for you being really famous? Did it change? Are you a different guy, or did people look at you differently after that Game 7?
I don't look at myself differently. I've been doing this a long time, and one moment isn't going to make or break my career. I've just been doing this for too long for it to just be dictated by one moment. It's part of my career, you know, being on a team and this good and doing what we did, and I'll cherish it for the rest of my life. But there have been a lot of moments in my career I'll cherish, even as much as that those successes, the failures that I'll appreciate as much as that. So you know, I'm grateful to have experienced it.
Did you have any idea when you came over here that this team was that good?
I felt when I walked in the door, I just had a really good feeling about the men in the clubhouse, the group, the human beings, and I knew how talented this group was. But then once I saw how guys treat each other in here and how guys acted, how much fun guys had, just from the get-go. And he's not here anymore, but, you know, having Carlos Beltran in here, you know, really guys like that, Brian McCann from last year, just from the get-go, kind of be the glue. And when I saw that, I knew there was something special going on here. And then obviously, you know, April, May, and June, and we got out to like a I don't even know how many game lead at one point. So I knew we were going to be a problem for other teams.
Did this team like each other more than any other team you'd ever been on?
I was part of some really special groups in Pittsburgh. And there were similarities. When you walk into a clubhouse, you can get a sense of what's going on. You can feel it. You can see it in people's faces. Whether or not they're bought into each other, whether they care about each other, and this group cares about each other, and you need to have that. I mean, the season's too long. We're with each other for too long for to be stuck with people. I think that's where groups fail. That's where teams fail, is that there's just not enough emphasis on each other and a common goal. We're going a common direction, and here it's very inclusive. It's a very tight-knit group, so it's easy coming to the park every day.
Did you feel, because Dallas spoke out, Reddick spoke out at the All-Star or at the trade deadline, that nothing happened, did you feel a sense of some decline? And then did you feel that sense of urgency when Verlander got here?
I didn't sense a decline. What it does is it makes you look at yourself and what you're providing to the team, and not what's being provided to you for the team. And I don't disagree with Dallas. I mean, I don't think that he was wrong in speaking out. I think he's earned his place and to be able to say what he wants to say. But personally, I didn't look at it that way. I looked at it as an opportunity for me to step up and do more. Maybe that's not good. I don't know. There are times I think when people question front offices, they question ownership, and that's well and good, but we still have a job to do regardless of who's added or subtracted to the team. But when Justin came, I mean, he's a force in the game, and there are guys that are very talented. There are pitchers that are very talented. There's position players that are very talented, but that just don't have the body of work. Whether or not it's because they haven't played long enough, or you know they got hurt and their careers ended, you know, quickly, or you know, you look at a guy like Justin, it's just he's a pillar in the game. There are guys that are out there that the game, you know, when you think about the foundations of modern pitching in our generation, that are there holding it up, you know, and Justin's one of them.
So everybody's talking about now, well, we got to put that behind us. How did you do anything to guard against that this season won't be a big letdown?
No, because on a personal level, each of the guys in here want to win. I mean, that's why we play. I mean, we're all competitive. And I know it's hard. I know people are probably saying, oh, you know, we can't, you know, those guys can't let up. You know, I hope they don't get soft or, you know, but we're here in the first place because we care about how we perform. We've worked really hard to get to be good at what we're doing. We've all been doing this for a really long time. So we want to win. We want to perform well. It still matters. Like, if I go out there and the last couple years of my career, if this is my last year and I don't pitch well, it's going to wear on me for the rest of my life. And guys don't want to fail on this stage. Guys want to, and especially in this clubhouse, guys want to succeed for each other.
Well, and doesn't, when Berlander's out starting and Keuchel and the callers and you, and then when Correa and you guys are going to push each other.
Yeah, I mean, we push ourselves, but we push ourselves because we care about the team, not also individually. We have pride in ourselves and how we go about our business and what we do, our job. It's our job. Like, this is what we're known for, right? This is our legacy, quote unquote. So I don't think anybody in here wants that to be, you know, we won, then we just quit. I can see it. You know, maybe there's a little complacency. It might happen. I'm not saying here, but it could happen. You know, in theory, you know, you could be satisfied. You won a World Series, but I just don't think. I think as a group, we just care too much about having fun with each other and it being a good season together and knowing what we can achieve, trying to do it again.
Charlie Morton, thanks. Appreciate it.
Really good stuff from Charlie Morton and John there. Thoughtful from a pitcher who came in as like an extra arm and left the season in unbelievable fashion. Just completely dominant Game 7 on the road, bringing Houston our first World Series title. All right, when we come back, you guys are welcome to jump in. We had a call previously. If you want to jump in, anything Astros, you got Rockets getting ready to crank it back up. Long time off, though, so well-deserved. Although, I'm a little worried about momentum shifts. And, of course, Houston Texans free agency getting ready to get underway, and we will spell out today some of the moves they need to make because they definitely need to make some moves. Our phone number, 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. You know, make sure you listen on the stream whenever you get a chance. Search ESPN Houston, and you can download the app and listen there. Podcast Arena, if you miss any of the shows, because we got a ton of number one shows, and we want you to hear them all from 7A to 7P right here on ESPN Houston, 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
Thirsty, trying to choose. I mean, I know I'm critical. My neti bag, my kitty boots. I got the juice.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Lance Zierlein. And live from Astros Spring Training in West Palm Beach in Florida. Presented by Texas Citizens Bank. Here's John Granato.
I'm sure it's a fine bank and all, but Granato, no.
Although it's official Bank of Gal Media.
We do have a Tony Kemp interview coming up in just a second.
Do you think at any point John asked him, Tony, were you rooting for Derek Fisher to get traded so you could stay on the roster? Do you think?
I don't feel like that was a question. John's pretty friendly with the Astros. I was thinking about this. This is an Astro. Well, they just won a World Series, so what do you expect? But you guys are a little rude about the Rockets. You're very rude about the Texans. Very rude. And not as rude about the team that won a World Series. It feels like that's how it kind of works.
You think winning makes people less rude about the teams?
I feel like
you've deduced that.
I feel like that's part of it. Although some people hate some teams whether they win or not.
I think
like there are people at other stations who are going to hate the Rockets forever and always. And that's when you know there's an agenda, right?
Well, I think the Astros, as it's been pounded home, are the most likable team in the city.
Easily. Would you agree?
Yes. I think for all of the talents that the Rockets have and the potential championship roster that's currently like leading the West.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you saw them play if you'd separated them and put them on another team, you'd like those players.
I think they were less likable when they were not in a local sense, but in a general sense when it was Josh Smith, Patrick Beverley. You know, Pat Beverley is hated by everybody except his team. He's got that Bruce Bowen quality. If he's on your team, you love him. I love Pat Beverley. Love that dog attitude that he had. Josh Smith, I didn't, you know.
Yeah, well, it's no. Dwight Howard as well.
Dwight Howard, yeah. I mean.
But even Chris Paul, which I actually wrote the sports map thing about it last week, he is a guy that outside of him being on your team, he is a flopper and a nut puncher. But that doesn't matter because he's a great player. So I think he's actually worse than Patrick Beverley as far as on-court stuff. It's just that he's a great player, so people look past it. And plus, now he's a Rocket, so we can look past all the time.
Flopper and nut puncher, that's a category?
Well, it's a Venn diagram that only has Chris Paul in it.
No, there's another player.
Who else is a flopper slash nut puncher?
He doesn't play basketball anymore.
Okay. And
do you know who it is? Another point guard. Notorious nut puncher.
John Stockton?
Yep.
Funny you say that. I called him the new John Stockton in that article, because that's what he is if he wasn't on your team. Whines to the refs.
Ugh, don't say that, Dale.
Punches people.
I love Chris Paul.
I know you do.
Stop saying that.
But if you look at his...
I hate John Stockton.
And you would hate Chris Paul if he won more for a different team.
Well, I didn't hate... No, I actually really liked him coming out of college, and I liked him fine. I liked them fine with the Clippers. I mean, I wanted them to lose, obviously, when the Rockets were taking them on. I've never really hated Chris Paul, but I can see some similarities with John Stockton.
He was a leader of that. They always whined. It was him, Doc, and Blake. They always whined to the refs. Yeah. Chris Paul was a ultimate flopper, and every now and again, he would punch a dude in the nuts.
Biggest on-court histrionics. I'm going to give you three teams. Now, all these teams have been very, very good, by the way, at different times. The Clippers in their heyday, the Rockets in their heyday, or the San Antonio Spurs with Ginobili and Parker and Duncan, because those are gigantic crybabies.
The Spurs get a pass, not from me, but from people because they won a lot.
See, I can't give
them
a pass.
I'm not giving them a pass either.
Okay.
But the Clippers felt worse only because they were a team who never lived up to the alleged potential, but wanted to let everyone know they should be good and then complain when things didn't go their way,
yeah,
which they did quite a bit, most of it their own doing. So I'm going to take the Clippers. I don't remember the Rockets being floppers. I mean, James has his things, but I don't remember them being floppers. You mean whiners.
Complainers to the ref and stuff like that, because they were known as that a little bit.
I think the Rockets are third on that list, to be
honest
with you.
That's good. I'm just asking, because some people have really hit the Rockets about that. Like, you're not going to get any calls from the refs because all you guys do is complain. And some of it's about the Rockets sending stuff into the league all the time. And I get it. You know, I get it. You still have to try to work the system, game the system. Let's get Rusty in here. He wants to talk about the most popular team in Houston. They also have World Series, the Astros. What's up, Rusty?
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought was this the info line?
Well, it can be at a moment's notice, but it's not info line currently. But we can make it that it doesn't. It's not going
to
be
okay,
hard.
Well, I was starting the transition from briefs to boxers,
uh-huh.
And I just want to make sure I'm getting it right. The slit goes to the back, right?
No. See, so Rusty, this is a. It's not a common mistake. It's one that basically you make. It might seem as though that would be the case, and maybe one day there will be two different slits, one in the front and back, but currently that deserves a turn because it's supposed to be in the front.
Good to go. Thank you.
Yeah. Apparently it is on full line now. 713-780-3776. It's 780.
Some people had questions. Why was John whispering into Charlie Morton's ear?
John was whispering because he didn't want to upset any of the other interviews that were going on, and John is a professional.
When did John start having couth? When did that happen, where he cared how he affected other people's lives?
When Jim Crane let him golf on his golf course for free.
I can see that. Oh, and look, people want to call in for InfoLine.
713-780-3776. No question is too small. No question is too big. We have information and answers for you here on the KGOW InfoLine. 713-780-KFNC. Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, it's Gal Communications. KFNC InfoLine. 713-780-3776. Let's get Dave in here. What's going on, Dave? Welcome to the InfoLine.
Hey, curiosity. If one's dog is to hump your leg, should you beat him off?
The first thing you have to do here is work on the wording.
Phrasing is what?
The phrasing is very important that you get the phrasing right. So should you shoo the dog away instead of saying beat the dog off? We say shoo the dog away is a much different way of phrasing that. Yeah, that's one of the things you do. If you're at your own home, of course, you can yell at the dog if you'd like to. We don't recommend actually physically harming your dog here on InfoLine. If you're at someone else's house, you have to be a little more discreet. But obviously, a shaking of the leg typically is what we like to do on InfoLine when the dog is humping us. We don't beat.
You don't beat the dog. As you would say, off your leg.
Yeah.
No, you simply shoo the dog.
It's a shooing or a shaking of the leg.
No beating of the dog.
No. Off of anything. So that's InfoLine. 713-780-3776 here on KFNC. We are your home for any and of all information, cooking information. For Hill needed help making his lobster the other day. I could have given that information had he just called InfoLine. 713-780-3776. Coming up in just a moment. It's Tony Kemp. You remember him? He plays for the Houston Astros. And John Granato was whispering to him just moments ago in Florida. We'll hear John whisper away to Tony Kemp and see if Tony whispers back right here on the bench.
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Brought to you by Saltgrass Steakhouse. Great food, legendary hospitality. Download the app in your iOS or Android app store today.
Get ready for the downloads.
Houston is all systems go! We love our Astros in Houston.
How long is Tony Kemp, Del?
And all across the Lone Star State.
Because nothing says Astros
we're Texas proud,
and all systems and go quite like Tony loud. Kemp. So how long is John's Tony Kemp interview?
About 5.5 minutes.
All right. Let's hear from Mr. Tony Kemp and Mr. John Granato. And then we have to school young Trey in a little bit. Dell needs to get his you got to get his game up, his intern / paid game up. He's made a huge, huge mistake. Huge mistake. And we'll bring that up. We'll also get to the Mavericks. Disastrous front office issues. Here is John Granato with Houston Astros outfielder Tony Kemp.
So tell us about the offseason.
How was it? This was probably the best offseason I've ever had. Got married in Jamaica, bought a house in Nashville, and the offseason went by so fast, but it was good. Worked on a lot of things. Happy to be here right now. Excited to get going.
Nashville, talk about that.
It's probably the best city in the world right now. People are, I think one time they had like 98 people moving there a day in the summer. So it's definitely booming. A lot of cranes in the sky. So that's good for real estate. And it's a great city.
And everybody says, what, the married life. But is it much different than it was before that?
No, I mean, when you're married to your best friend, nothing else is different. So totally love that woman. Michelle, if you're out there, I love you. So, yeah.
So Jamaica, it had to be a pain to do.
Yeah, well, it was either have 350 people in Nashville or 130 people in Jamaica. So I thought that a destination wedding would be the way to go. So it was a lot of fun. Montego Bay, we had my college coach was able to come out there, and it was a good celebration, and we had a good time.
Tony Kemp with us here on ESPN 97.5. Okay, so besides getting married, because that was the greatest thing that ever happened to you, right. What was the other greatest thing since the World Series?
Since the World Series, other than getting married, I'm happy to say buying our first house. That's definitely a huge accomplishment, something that you it's one of your goals, lifelong goals, and able to do it at 26. So that's something that is pretty cool, and figuring out all the paperwork and stuff. And now you have a place to call home. All your stuff's in one place. So that's finally a good thing, just to not have to pick it from mom and dad's house and bring it all together. So having a place to call home is nice.
Were you able to relax all off season, or are you working your butt off just to get and stay here?
Yeah, it's one of those things to where, you know, if we're not one of the best teams in the league, I mean, I think that we are. So, you know, it's a tough team to crack, and you just have to come work hard every day. And we have a good environment. A.J. Reed came to Vanderbilt and trained with me this offseason, and we have about 15 guys that go up to the facilities, and Coach Corbin likes to meet the guys. And it's just a good working environment to be at before you come to spring training. So, yeah. I worked on a lot of good things this offseason and ready to get going.
Did you pick anybody's brain this offseason to, you know, get some tips to make you a better player?
Yeah, I mean, I always like talking to guys like Pedro Alvarez, and you bounce things off of Sonny Gray, and whenever Price comes through, you talk to those guys and you get a better understanding of the game. So, you know, you get to realize that the game, there's more than the game that you think there is. So, it's good just to have those veterans around and bounce ideas off of.
You hit better than them, though.
I think that's one of the positives in my game is my hit tool.
Yeah. So is there anything specific? Tony Kemp with us here on ESPN 97.5. Anything specific that you worked on?
Yeah, I actually threw BP a lot this offseason, and as I was long tossing, for some reason it led to me to believe that my arm got a lot stronger. So I guess the key to getting a better arm is throwing more batting practice. So it was one of those things. I wanted to come into camp, make sure my arm was feeling good, just to be at second and play all the outfield positions. So, you know, strengthening my arm was one of the keys in this offseason.
Can you work in the offseason with all the other guys to be a better hitter?
Yeah, it's one of those things to where we have a pitching lab. We go down there and we track pitches, and that leads us into when we get to live pitching here, makes it a lot easier. But it's good to have even the guys that are, you know, going through the grind just to bounce ideas off of each other as we're hitting. You know, the philosophies that we're teaching in the Astros organization, many people aren't teaching that. So it's interesting just to hear the questions. What did you do different? You know, how did you hit for more power last year and hit for more doubles? So to answer those questions was pretty cool.
Who in this locker room do you look to for help? When Altuve, Correa, Springer, who is it?
Yeah, it's kind of tough to look at those guys because Altuve is a freak. Springer is just abnormal, and Josh Reddick is just out of this world. So it's kind of hard to relate to those guys because they do things so well. But, you know, mainly just talking to, you know, our hitting coaches, Daryl Robinson, Jeff Albert, Dave Hudgens. Those guys really know the game, and they understand, you know, what it takes to hit at the major league level. And, you know, as you go on, you master each level. You kind of understand, you know, what it takes to put yourself in a good position.
As a guy who is right there, not sure, all of those things, is it good to be on a great team, or would you rather be on a team where I know I'm here?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. I mean, we're the best team in baseball, and, you know, you can say that you're on the fence, but, you know, being in this organization, being in this locker room and seeing and all the great guys that are around this locker room, it's tough to say that you'd want to be anywhere else, but, you know, at the same time, you know, it's exciting to see when guys do get out of this organization, how they prosper. Guys like Robbie Grossman, Kike Hernandez, Domingo Santana, you know, just to name a few. But that's just a testament to how deep the Lunau's made our organization and, you know, how tough it is to, you know, crack the big league lineup.
Tony, we appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good one.
Thank you. So how do you make
That's Granato with Tony Kemp there. We got Will Harris coming up in as well. John just sent that in. John is live in Florida gathering some interviews there in the locker room. And Tony Kemp is one of those guys who may play a role, but he's going to be one of those fringe guys because the Astros should be looking to – I'm a big believer. It's kind of almost a football model where if you have young talent ready to come up, the fringe guys on the roster, you start looking to replace them with young players. I know that in baseball, everyone's so cost conscious. You don't want to bring young players up and start the clock on having to pay them until you absolutely have to. But I don't know. I'm a fan of getting young players integrated more quickly, but it's probably not the best model simply because what we're talking about, the Astros happen to be fairly loaded with core talent. And so if you're just bringing guys up to have young talent on your bench, you're in essence artificially starting the clock on when you have to pay them more money even more quickly. So we'll see if that even happens. The Dallas Mavericks, I got to get to this. This is not good. Sports Illustrated came out with a piece that detailed incredible wrongdoings in the Dallas Mavericks workplace, in the front office. Specifically, former team president and CEO for nearly 20 years, Terdema Usiri. Is that how it's pronounced, Del? Do you know? I think he's Nigerian. Is it Usiri? I'm going with an official Nigerian pronunciation. Do you have...
I don't.
It's your
have
guy.
A ruling.
It's your guy.
It's my. It's your oh, guy. Now you're putting him on me.
You put our intern Andrew on all of Germany.
I didn't
on Deutschland.
I didn't put him on all of Germany.
Could
I just
be
said
Nordic. Could be Nordic.
He would be the dream if he was born in Deutschland.
Yeah,
obviously. In a certain time period.
You know, and the craziest part of that is I don't ever see Andrews on the soccer team in Germany. Where did that whole thing come from?
That was a Klinsmann, Jogi Löw thing, where they got kids whether their parents were born in Germany at some point or has some type of German heritage, and you got guys from
Boateng.
That's
different.
You got
his mom's German.
His mom was German. His dad was Ghanaian. So things like that. Yeah, they found ways to, let's say, incorporate more athleticism on their roster in different way, and they are now one of the more dominant teams.
Germany is a fine-tuned machine passing along with that. We'll talk about that.
There are a lot of kids on the team who either didn't grow up in Germany or their parents were born someplace else.
My son Sebastian, you know who he's named after? Bastian Schweinsteiger.
He's named after Bastian Schweinsteiger?
That's right. Bastian Schweinsteiger.
You didn't want to name him after... Mezid Ozul or Mehmet Ozul, however, whatever his last name is.
No.
Or first name is.
No, he's good too. Klosa. There's lots of guys over there. So here's what the Dallas Mavericks former team president and CEO, Terdema Usiri, did. Basically, about 20 years of sexual harassment. There were aggressive commentaries, and this is going to require some earmuffs. So if you have kids in the car, I'm just giving you a warning right now. In one instance, it was detailed by a woman who worked there that it's well known you don't want to get trapped into an elevator with Usiri because you were going to get harassed. And she said, as she sat at a table with ESPN game night workers nearby, Usiri sat down next to her and started what seemed like an innocuous conversation, even though she had already been warned about him, and then said, "What are you doing this weekend?" She goes, "I think I'm going to go to the movie with my friends." And I swear, once again, earmuffs, because this is not for the kids. I don't want you to have to explain this one away. He said, "No, you're not. You're going to get gangbanged." And yeah, Waddell, that's a real thing. I can say that on the air. This is a news report. This was in Sports Illustrated. And she said, "No, I'm actually going to go. I'm actually going to go to the movies with my friends." And he continued along that course of conversation, which she said she felt very uncomfortable about, the team president and CEO saying, obviously. And that was just one of several instances and several things that happened in the Mavericks front office. And there are a lot of them detailed here. Abuse of employees, physical abuse, mental abuse, sexual harassment. And Mark Cuban went on, and I'm already getting text messages from football people saying, maybe Mark Cuban needs to try to fix his own house before he starts throwing grenades at the sport of football.
Huh. So he decided, not Mark Cuban, but Usiri, decided to look. By the way, he's from Ojai, California, so I'm not claiming him.
Okay.
He decided.
Where are you from?
I'm from Daytona, Florida.
Whoa, 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 and grew up
in Long Beach, California, but he's not one
Cali.
Of my people.
Okay.
He's not one of my people.
I saw the Cali thing. I was just saying.
Whatever. He decided to look at a woman and said, "Yeah, you're going to get GB'd." And she goes, "No, I'm going to go watch a movie." "No, you're definitely going to get..."
He said that, definitely,
Do you have a look on your... Do women have a look that suggests that's going to happen to them on a Wednesday night, I guess?
I don't know. That's an aggressive policy from a team president and CEO. Really, anybody at all. It didn't stop there though. Usry ended up leaving for Under Armour, but resigned after less than 2 months on the job following a complaint made by a female employee to HR about his sexual inappropriateness. It took Under Armour 2 months, took Dallas 20 years, and he left in Dallas. They just, I guess they were okay with it. There's no way that all this went on and Dallas didn't know. It doesn't end there. The Dallas Mavericks team owner Mark Cuban says that the HR head has since been suspended and Snead has been fired. Let me tell you what that's about. In addition to Usry, who was the central focus of the Sports Illustrated piece, Sports Illustrated also reports that Earl K. Snead, a reporter for the Mavericks website, pleaded guilty to a domestic violence charge in 2012 and continued to work for the site. In 2014, he allegedly hit a female coworker whom he was dating. That's Mavericks basketball, ladies and gentlemen. And actually, the two females who came forward in the piece, and one of them wanted to remain nameless, said that the safest they ever felt was in the locker room. Never had any issues with the players. Were always treated well there. It was when they had to go deal with the office culture where it was really bad. So the Dallas Mavericks, this is going to get way worse for the Mavericks. Yesterday was day one. It was actually day half. Today is going to be officially day one for them. And watch how bad this is going to get for the Dallas Mavericks. This is going to really blow up on them. Rockets are just number one in the West. 8 o'clock here on the bench. I want to tell you guys about my friend Craig DeSurf and all the killer D's over at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Rick DeLuna, it's actually the DeLuna brothers. You've got Rick Drenner and you've got Craig DeSurf. Craig DeSurf told me, Lance, I don't care what we have to do. I want to make sure that anybody who comes out here to Angleton, that we get them taken care of. And that means being aggressive with the trade-in prices. And they've got ways that they can finesse the game for you. They can be aggressive with the trade-in prices. You got dealer cash back. There's a lot of opportunities going on. There's right now is about almost $10,000 off on GMC Acadias, for example, 2018s. But here's the thing. They will make sure that they get to a price that is that makes you happy. They want to make sure they get you a price on your vehicle that's trade-in and the vehicle that you're going to buy. And they don't care whether it's a pickup truck like Chevy Silverado or the GMC Sierra pickup truck, crew cab, full cab, quad cab. I don't care how many cabs they've got going on. They're going to make sure it happens for you. Yukon, Chevy Suburban, extended bodies, the Buick Enclaves, the Chevy Traverse, which is what I'm driving in the crossover vehicles. They will make sure that you get a deal that you love, and you don't settle for a car. You get the interior you want. You get the exterior features you want. You get the colors you want. Craig DeSurf says, if you drive about 40 minutes out here to Angleton, we're going to make it worth your while for thousands and thousands of dollars in savings. Isn't that something that you should consider taking advantage of if you're ready to get your car? Go to the website, lancezcars.com. Check out their entire inventory that they have. And then give them a call, start the process online, or just head down to Angleton and get it done with my friend Craig DeSurf right there at Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC. Stop in and tell them Lance Erland sent you by.
ESPN 97.5.